Hello and welcome to the Go Perform podcast. I'm Tristan and today I am joined by Jamie Butler, long-term member here at Go Perform, and we're going to talk about Jamie's training, both running and strength and conditioning and injury prevention today. So welcome to the podcast, Jamie, and thanks for coming down. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into running.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me in, Tristan. I have to acknowledge up front, there's been a long time coming, and Jordan, if he was still with us, would absolutely love the fact that we were doing this. And so, really happy to be here. So I started running back in 2008. At the time, I was 21 and a half stone, and I had some lifestyle changes, which meant that I wanted to take fitness more seriously. So when I was growing up, I was always a chubby kid at school. I got caught cheating on the cross country and cutting corners and stuff like that. Would forget my kit for PE, all that kind of stuff. So it's quite funny to look back and think that that fat kid growing up is still a little bit large, but has an absolute love and zest for running. This was back in, 2008. So pre-smartwatches, pre-Strava. I don't think Couch to 5K was even a thing. I used to borrow my brother's Man United watch, and I would simply try and run to the furthest road possible in like 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And I would go out at like 5 o'clock in the morning because, I was the fat.
So what? It's an interesting relationship you've got with running then. So what? Why running now? What brought you back to it when you weren't such a fan of it growing up?
I think at the time it was the quickest way for me to try and lose weight. The tools that people had available at their disposal 15, 16 years ago were nowhere near as vast as there are now. You know, maybe if I was the same age now, I'd be into High Rocks or something like that. But it was the quickest way. Equally, it's quite accessible. Certainly when you start out, you know, I out in an old pair of Adidas, low barriers to do, anyone can do it. And yeah, I just started.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's not just your average park run that you do. I mean, you do half marathon. You're up and down the highest points in every county. It's another challenge you give yourself. So I think, you know, it needs to be said that you're not just going out for a park run every Saturday, although that is part of what you do as well.
That is part of the plan. I do love a park run, and the opportunity to tick off a net new location, do all the other challenges, all the stuff that goes with that is great. More recently I've done something like 45 half marathon races in my time now, 11 marathon races in my time, 3 or 4 ultras. I've also done, the furthest run that I've done was back in 2021 on the shortest day of the year. So winter equinox, I lived in Bracknell at the time, and I set off from Bracknell at sunrise to try and get to the home of Greenwich Mean Time, the Royal Observatory in Greenwich. I tried to get there before sunset. It's about 39, 40 miles. Didn't quite get there before sunset, but still had a fantastic day. So yeah, marathon and a half in one go is the furthest that I've done. Really, half marathon is my sweet spot, but we'll come on and talk a little bit more about some of the other runs that I've done, but I've done every distance up to a marathon and a half.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I think, you know, what's kind of inspirational is seeing these little challenges you set yourself. I think during lockdown, there was every train station in the local area, things like that. You know, the blue plaques are all around Wokingham, where you live now. I think it's brilliant how sort of creative you are with all these things and getting yourself used to enjoy so much, which is fantastic. So yeah, coming on to those races then, tell us about kind of some of the events that you've participated in, maybe sort of your regular face at, and which of those are you most proud of?
Yeah, great question. So for me, Reading Half Marathon, I'm a Reading boy, born and bred, love the town, and it was the first event that I ever did. So I started running in 2008, in like March, April 2009, I did my first half, and never looked back from there really. I've done it every year since 2009. There was one year where it was snowed off, me and my mate Seamus still went out and did it, unofficially. And then there was even one year where I unfortunately DNF'd because I was dicking around, celebrating and cheering to my missus and the friends that were in the crowd, and pulled up with an injury like a prat. Lessons learned. Reading Half for me every year is a real special event in the diary. And then equally, anywhere, then it's not like I've just been running for 5 weeks and I'm breaking a PB every week. So more recently, I was in Vancouver a couple of weeks ago, I hit a 10k PB in a local race that I entered there. Just before Christmas, I did a half marathon PB at Victoria Park Half. And then Manchester Marathon in 2021, I hit a marathon PB. So those are the real ones that stand out for me.
Yeah, so some of those events, some of those races, you've run loads of those throughout your time, and starting out right from the very beginning, coming in at 2008, you would have seen your times tumble down as you've gone on over the years and over the events. That's obviously started to plateau, I guess, as you got more experience. But tell us about where your PBs were from maybe your first or your early races through to where they are now, and the progress that you've seen there.
Yeah, sure. So this conversation wouldn't be a real conversation between us without me introducing an element of cheese or an inspirational quote. So if I was to quote one of my old bosses, he always used to say to me, the path to success isn't always in a straight line. So it'd be easy for me to say, yeah, I started running in 2008 and every year I've just got a little bit better each year. The reality is that hasn't been the case. Life evolves and changes around that. Other priorities, and you know, sometimes partying is a lot more attractive than going for a run. So if I was to look at the progress that I've made, my first half marathon, Reading 2009, was like 2 hours 5. And then interestingly enough, if I look back at the last half marathon that I did before I started training in Go Perform, which was like September 2018, I actually did the Swindon half in 2:28. And then the most recent half marathon race that I've done was December 2023, and I hit 1:42 at Victoria Park.
That's amazing, isn't it?
I'm happy with that.
Coming on 50 minutes off your old time there. So yeah, massive.
Yeah, really, really happy. It was probably one of the best ever runs I've executed. And yeah, really, really happy. And I can talk a little bit more shortly around how Go Perform was key to that, if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll come on to that and how your training might have changed or been supported by us here at Go Perform. But just to come back to that point you made about, you know, sometimes life kind of gets in the way of training and there might be other priorities and things like that. Obviously, that's your MO really, isn't it? You're the kind of everyman runner. You've got a really fun Instagram account, the Medium Rare Runner, where you're just really honest about, you know, I go out for runs, but I also live life to the full. And I think that's a really important balance to strike. And, you know, you're someone who takes his running seriously, but it doesn't entirely rule your life. So tell us about how you find that balance and how that sort of tweaks or changes your approach to training when you're not that kind of full-time athlete, if you like, and it doesn't rule your life.
Yeah, sure. So I set up, you mentioned there, the Medium Rare Runner. So I set that up because it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because it seemed like everyone felt that they had to be vegan. You know, there was that Netflix show that everyone started watching. Was it Game Changers?
Yeah, Game Changers, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like all of a sudden everyone's like vegan and plant-based and all this. So I was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, like, well, I'm going to be the Medium Rare Runner. I might have a few more followers on Instagram if I wasn't true to myself and my values and was like, I'm plant-based and all that, but I'd rather be true to myself and who I am. And then, yeah, ultimately, I've got a busy life, very busy work, very busy family life, 2 young girls to take care of as well, alongside my wife. So, yeah, I need to fit it all in. I do take it seriously, but equally at the same time, if you say to me, like Friday night, I'm going out for a curry with my mates, I ain't going to stop doing that.
Yeah,
I've got park run Saturday morning, and I'm not going to be tearing up any trees and getting a PB at park run this Saturday. But yeah, it's about that balance for me. It's important, but I'm not paid to do this. I'm not a full-time athlete. I do take it seriously, but life is there to be lived alongside it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that helps with your happiness, doesn't it? And you really seem to have a great balance of enjoying both sides of it. And I think it's not necessarily a common thing, but something that we see now and again where someone can throw themselves all into a sport, not necessarily running, but anything, and that can start to become a little bit overbearing, and that's where the fun gets taken away from it, and you know, injuries can come in and things like that can start to hamper progress.
Yeah, so definitely. I really resonated, actually, one of the early podcasts, the Go Perform podcast, you had Becky on, and she talked around how she'd had that previously, and I kind of felt that through lockdown a little bit, because there wasn't as much to focus on with the rest of life. I found that I was doing like crazy challenges, not necessarily resting and recovering properly, and actually it was more detrimental than positive. So I've learned my lesson. I've had my fingers burnt along the way as well.
Yeah, no, that's great. And also coming back to how you position yourself and put the message out there on your Instagram post, I think you're honest with those kind of mistakes and lessons learned along the way, and you know, today wasn't my best run ever, and all of that kind of honesty, which is fantastic.
Definitely.
So coming on to, obviously you're a long time member here at GoPerform, as you've already mentioned, how do you find training here has supplemented and supported your running training?
Yeah, it's made a massive difference. So I started training here back in 2018, ahead of the London Marathon that I got a place for in 2019. At first I was, so my friend Fozzie used to train here, and he would wax lyrical about it, but he was like Reading AC, track runner, and I was like, nah, I'm just not that serious. I'll be, standing out like a sore thumb and all that kind of stuff. I came in here, met with you, Tristan, was reassured straight away, and yeah, really since then, what started off as I should just start doing some strength training ahead of London Marathon has become a real highlight of my week, actually. Coming into whether it's the old building or the new premises here, I just do the one strength session a week. That's all I find that I need to do to supplement my running. And it's made a massive difference, both in terms of injury prevention, strength, body composition. I'm never going to be the lightest person in the world. I'm still quite heavy, but my body composition has totally changed, and I can see that changing quarter on quarter, year on year. I'm 34, 35 this year, and I feel like I'm getting into like peak physical condition, whereas hope none of my mates are listening to this, but some of you lot, yeah, you need to get in the gym and you need to look after yourself, because you're going any other way.
Not naming any names though.
No, they know who they are.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. So yeah, you mentioned obviously about how much it kind of supports you and everything there, and we kind of have a running semi-serious joke, really, don't we, about consistency is king. And I think we can set our watches by you turning up every Thursday morning to do your strength training here, and it doesn't, I think that speaks to, it doesn't necessarily have to be 3-4 times a week alongside 3-4 runs a week in when it comes to strength training. You're here once a week and you're reaping the benefits of that, so I think that certainly speaks to being consistent with that, and alongside your running you can really see the benefits of that, can you?
Massively. Insert Stephen Bartlett style quote here, but 99% of this is just about turning up, and that really is the case here. I've seen massive benefits even from just once a week.
You mentioned before about your Reading half marathon, going around high-fiving everyone, and you picked up a little bit of an injury. Tell us about some of the pitfalls that you've come across running, and some of these sort of long-term, short-term injuries that you've had, and how you've gone about just creating an intervention or collaborating with us to create an intervention and coming out the other side of that. Have you recovered from those?
Yeah, so for me, it's about leaving the ego at the door and trying to just compare myself with not necessarily what I've done in the past or where I want to get to. It's more about right now, where am I at with that injury? Being honest with myself. And that could just be something like, maybe if I've just pushed it too much in a hard road running session, or whether it be an actual injury that I picked up. I have been really lucky. I've only had really two injuries in recent years. One was from the Reading half. When you're as chubby as I am, you really can't be jumping up and down on the spot 7 miles into a half marathon and expecting there to be very little impact or repercussion. So yeah, lesson learned there. And then the other injury that I picked up was a couple of years ago. I did the 39 and a half mile run. And then I had like 2 days rest, and I got self-obsessed because it was 2021 and I really wanted to do 2021 miles in 2021.
Yeah, I think I remember this one, yeah.
So I was like going out doing like 10 miles in Swinley with my mate Ash, like in the pissing rain on like New Year's, the night before New Year's Eve and stuff like that. Like, and then all of a sudden it was then, right, I'm going to do the accumulator challenge. So January the 1st, you go and run 1K. January the 2nd, you run 2K, etc., etc. And then I got to like day 18 and my body was just screaming at me, and then a month later I tried to run Goodwood Marathon because I'd watched a Kipchoge documentary and was really inspired to do a fast marathon. And you look back and think, what were you playing at? What, you had no idea. And then actually having to take a step backwards from there has allowed me to take two steps forward, and now I'm looking ahead to London Marathon this year, trying to gun down a big PB and try and get sub four.
Yeah, no, that's going to be it. We'll come on to that in a second in terms of what's next. But I think that, again, that speaks to consistency, doesn't it? You know, those accumulated challenges and 2021 miles in a year and all that, they're fantastic on paper. And then the reality hits, and it's actually how much is your body ready to tolerate that level of load? And, you know, it's all well and good covering 1K a day for 31 days. But when you accumulate, you add another K every day, back to back days, no days of rest. I think, you know, that's a huge spike in load. And if you're consistent in that kind of a mid range, going up over and above that can flare things up. So I think, you know, you, like you said, leave your ego at the door and you listen to your body about what's going to be best for it, what's going to be right for it, and backed away from that. But another kind of lesson learned along the interesting path of training, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So yeah, you mentioned London. What's coming up? What's coming down the track for you this year, next year? What have you got planned on the marathon stakes, or maybe other distances?
Yeah. So this year, again, actually, you know, on that theme of lessons learned, part of coming here is not just the training; it's actually picking up the knowledge from other athletes, whether that be other runners or people from other sports. And I remember there was a previous athlete seminar where there was a lot of talk around periodization, and at the time I didn't really necessarily believe in it because I was, you know, ego-based and just trying to, you know, run junk miles. But really, that periodization, I've introduced that into my training. It's something I picked up from others in the room here. And so for this year, I'm focusing on London Marathon in April, and then I've also got a place in Chicago Marathon in October. So two marathons really define my year from a training perspective. I'm on a 16-week block for London. I don't think I'll necessarily do a 16-week block for Chicago, but I'll reassess after London and do my own due diligence after that. And then in the build-up between now and London, a couple of classic local races, Wokingham Half. I won't be racing that. I'll be using that as a long tempo session. And then Reading Half, which is like the week before London Marathon. So again, I won't be racing it, but it's just a fantastic occasion, one of the best days of the year. So yeah, looking forward to that.
No, absolutely fantastic. And again, you said you're going to take stock after London and do your due diligence, think about what Chicago is going to hold. And again, just coming full circle back to that kind of every man runner mentality, you're going to take it seriously. You know, it's a big marathon in Chicago. You're traveling a long way to go and do it. It's almost a once in a lifetime thing for a lot of people to do that. So taking it seriously enough. But I think it's fair to say that when you're out there, then after the marathon, you might partake in the odd Chicago town pizza or something like that.
Before the carb loading starts. Yeah. Yeah, on the Thursday flight out there, it's going to be slap up meal. It's all going to happen. So maybe I won't get a PB there because I'll be weighed down in deep dish Giuseppe pizza. So maybe that's even more incentive to go balls deep at London in a couple of weeks' time.
Fantastic. That's brilliant, Jamie. So tell us a little bit about the two home races you got coming up in preparation for London as well. So you got Wokingham Half. I think you can walk to the start line from your front door, can't you? And then Reading Half is the hometown race.
Exactly that. So Wokingham Half. I'll do a cheeky little run beforehand just to make it a longer session, just in the build up to London. And then that's a great race. Like, really love doing that race, done really well. And even with it being a long tempo session this year, interestingly enough, if we think around that piece around consistency, the time that I'm aiming for now would have been my PB this time last year. So it just goes to show the power of consistency and how you can make that progress in 12 months. And then Reading, like, if anyone's watched the Titanic before, everyone's there applauding her back and all that stuff. That is basically Reading Half Marathon for me. So if you're going to do it in anywhere around 2 hours, avoid me, because you're just going to hear my name for 2 hours.
Yeah, we'll take the analogy of everyone cheering and supporting you, not the sinking ship, yeah?
Yeah, exactly that. Although, well, we'll see. Hopefully by then, a week before London, it will be all rosy.
It'll be plain sailing. That's brilliant. So just lastly then, where do you think this can take you? Have you thought about, you know, what your ceiling is? I'm not talking about where this can take you from a Instagram follower perspective, but for yourself, have you ever thought about, you know, what's the most I could achieve, or what would I hope to achieve? Have you given that any thought?
Yes, I have. And ultimately, I found a vocation that I love massively, and it's got infinite purpose. So it's a little bit like, you know, we all loved playing video games when we were growing up, and you just level up, you know, Championship Manager, whatever, the seasons keep coming. So I found something that I can continue to do. And interestingly enough, I was speaking with somebody the other day, and they were like, you know, if everything went tits up in your life, what would you do? You know, if you lost your job, you lost all this, blah, 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 what would you do? Suarez won't want to hear this, but I'd probably become a running coach, because I just love it so much that if I don't want to tempt fate, but if I couldn't run anymore, then I'd find that joy and fulfillment through other people doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've got that infinite purpose. I'm not going to attach it and say I'd love to do a 3:30 marathon or blah, blah, blah marathon, because actually the lessons that I've learned previously are, if you define yourself by those goals, then you're never going to be happy. And it's that mountain syndrome. I think Tyson Fury's talked around it before. You know, once you climb Everest, then what?
Yeah.
Then what? Actually, I've got something deeper than that.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And a really good point to finish up on there, Jeremy. Thanks so much for coming down, for sharing your thoughts with us. We'll put any...
just Instagram, medium runner.
Instagram tags in the show notes. So yeah, give Jamie a follow and follow his journey. All the best for London and the upcoming races, mate. And we will see you very soon.
Cheers.